Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Irish Farmers Association President Francie Gorman is about to hit the road in his tractor this morning. He's on the way to Brussels alongside thousands of farmers from across the European Union. They're making that journey to protest about various farming issues, including their concerns about the quality of Brazilian meat, which is allowed into the EU. Now, Francie Gorman joins me. Good morning, Francie.
Good morning, Pat.
Where are you now as we speak? Are you getting ready to go?
Just outside the farm centre in Bluebell, hopefully within half an hour.
Now, what is the scene like? How many tractors will be in your initial cohort before you head off on the ferry?
Not quite sure how many is here in Bluebell at the moment, maybe 10 or 15, and they're going to accompany myself and my son Tom. He's 11 years of age, hoping to have a farm to come home to farm when he's finished school, and we'll join up with farmers at Nacing in County Kildare. Then we go to Crookstown, we go on to Tullough, Enniscorthy, and then on to the ferry where we head to Dunkirk. And we're expecting that there'll be hundreds of tractors between Dublin and Wexford to escort us to the ferry.
OK, so you'll have a large escort, but how many will actually board the ferry? What is the size of the Irish contingent heading for Brussels?
Just myself and Tom will board the ferry to Dunkirk, where we join up with farmers from France and Belgium. But on Thursday, we're sending out our full national council on a day trip, flying out and flying back that evening for the protest. It's probably the biggest protest that COPE and CAGIC have organised in a decade or more. So we're expecting thousands of farmers from France alone to turn up. And so, look, the issues that are concerning farmers at the moment are really real, and they feel very frustrated, to be fair.
Yeah. Now, people have an idea maybe of a farm tractor, and it might be the old idea, an open-topped Massey Ferguson or something like that. You're not driving one of those, I presume.
No, I'm not. And to be fair, it's not my tractor either, Pat. Temple Toohey Farm Machinery, who will be our local dealers, have sponsored a John Deere tractor for me to drive from Dublin to Rosslare and across France and Belgium. And it's a nearly new top-of-the-range tractor. It's a far cry from your Massey Ferguson 135.
Or your Zetter, do you remember those? Anyway, presumably it's got heating and air conditioning and comfortable seats and all the rest of it.
Absolutely, and it's a belted seat, everything. It's the modern tractors today move like a car, to be fair, and suspension, everything. So, look, once we can make the ferry by 6 o'clock in Rosslare this evening, we'll be fine.
Okay, and your speed. I mean, you're trying to avoid motorways, I presume, to avoid the criticism that you're blocking the way and all of that, or you're not going fast enough in the inside lane. So you're taking the by roads, I suppose.
We're staying off the motorways, but I did come up on the motorway from Leash last night. This tractor I have will reach speeds of almost 60 kilometres an hour, so it's legal to go on the motorways. But we're avoiding motorways today because most of the tractors we'd have wouldn't have those speeds available to them, so we're sticking to the N roads.
Now, when you reach France, you'll be presumably taking the Route Nationale rather than the motorways. And they run basically through farming country, so I suspect you'll have support along the roads. Are you well badged and well flagged so people know what you're at?
Absolutely. And we have great support too from particularly FNSEA in France and Bourbon in Belgium, who are going to escort us from Dunkirk through France and Belgium to Brussels. And tractors are coming from a number of locations around Europe, but not every country. But for the first time ever, I think a COPE demonstration is going to have farmers from every one of the 27 member states for this protest on Thursday.
Now, tell me about what's going to happen when you arrive in Brussels. I mean, there will be obviously a lot of farm machinery arriving. I'm wondering, will some of those farmers from Limoges arrive? Did you see what they did with the slurry in Limoges?
I did, yeah, I did. We don't expect that that's going to happen, but this is really about strength in numbers. It's about showing that if we can put 10,000 people on the streets of the capital of Europe, which is Brussels, to make our points about CAP and about Mercosur in particular, and the cost of doing business and how we feel we've been regulated out of business, I think it's numbers show strength. So I don't expect there to be a lot of that, but you never know. Protests in continental Europe, particularly in France, and when they come to Brussels, sometimes can turn fairly heated, but we don't expect that will be the case on Thursday.
Okay, now the principal issues, you've mentioned some of them in passing, but you might outline them more specifically. What are your concerns and what are the concerns shared by European?
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
Farmers.
I think, obviously, the most current one is the Mercosur trade deal. And you saw the coverage probably when ourselves and the Farmers Journal went out to Brazil a month ago and really showed little or no improvement in how beef is produced in Brazil, even in the last 25 years. The free availability of critical antibiotics that we need for human health, available over the counter, to be able to purchase as easy as you buy a Mars bar in a petrol station. And then in the last week, to see the food recall with hormones in it that are banned in Europe for probably 30 years. So that's a huge issue for us. Initially, I suppose we would have been talking about the economics, but when we went out there and we saw what was going on, completely unacceptable. And there's got to be a review of that trade deal, full stop. And agriculture has got to be taken out of it. And then, I suppose, the other big one is the budgetary process for the European Union for the next 7 years, for the next MFF. And the ring-fence budget that we have for agriculture at the moment is completely insufficient. And it's basically been frozen in time for 30 years. And we've had to deal with enlargement in that period of time as well. And to come back with a budget that's cut by 22% just shows once again that we feel that the European Commission in particular do not have the backs of farmers. And look, the whole issue of regulation, various taxes and chemicals that we're not allowed to use but have to compete with countries who have the ability to use them in the grain sector, they're all issues that are really, really frustrating farmers at the moment.
Now, we know that regulation is being complained about in many sectors throughout Europe, that we're over-regulated, and the Americans are kind of leading the charge on those particular accusations. But when we look at the way Irish farmers are regulated and how other countries might respond to any problem, you know, when we had suspected dioxin in pig meat, immediately a ban on pig meat all over the place. When we had problems with the dairy herd, immediately a ban on infant formula in China imported from Ireland. You know, other countries respond very quickly when there is perceived to be, even in the pristine food production environment of Europe, when there's perceived to be a problem, they shut us down very quickly. Why doesn't the EU shut the South Americans down as quickly when these offences are discovered?
It's a really, really good question, primarily because we feel big business are driving this this trade deal, particularly, I suppose, the automotive industry in Germany and across Europe. The services industries across Europe are really driving this. And it's something that really frustrates farmers. And even when the checks and balances finally worked and we had a recall a fortnight ago, that just demonstrates in the first place that the control systems are not in place, particularly in Brazil, to be able to verify the standards to which this beef is produced and where it's produced. And all we want as farmers, and to be clear, Pat, we're not anti-trade. I think we're fair trade, and we believe that if on a level playing field, we can compete with any farmers in the world. But if we're going to be denied access to products that allow them to produce beef a lot more cheaper than us, it's very, very unfair. And what the trip to Brazil did show was that the bulk of the farmers out there don't ever want to meet those standards. They don't want to be regulated the same way that we are. So if you don't even have a buy-in at that level, it's never going to happen.
And by the way, the checks that are they made at the point of exit from South American countries, or are they made at the point of entry into the EU? And how random are they and how frequent are they?
In general, the checks are made at that processing level, like they are here. And after that, then the checks become more become less and less. And there are spot checks done randomly on product coming into the European Union. And it showed up that that estradiol 17B hormone in beef that was actually consumed in restaurants in Italy. So, like, the checks and balances at processor level is where it should be. But to be clear, there's no traceability out there. So even if you had controls on hormones and how antibiotics are used over there, they don't have the traceability system in place to be able to verify it in the first place.
And by the way, what are they claiming we get out of Mercosur? If they're getting access for their meat into the European market, what do we get in exchange?
We're told, even by some in our government who seem to be, neutral on this trade deal, maybe in favour of it, it's hard to know. We have a commitment from our government that in the programme for government that they'd work with like-minded countries, but yet we hear behind the scenes that there's an anxiousness to see this deal go through, and it hasn't been clear from the statements by the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach that they're totally against this deal. We see very little benefit in this country for it. We see our beef industry and our poultry industry be completely undermined. They're saying that there will be benefits in the dairy and the whisky industry. I don't think enough in any shape or form that we could say this trade deal is good for us. And to be clear, if you have a beef industry that's struggling, all those dairy bred calves have to be reared and finished as beef. So if you have a beef industry that's struggling, you're kind of a dairy industry that's struggling. And the only benefit that you could really see for Europe in a big way is the automotive industry, the financial services industry, the white goods industry, that our fridges and our washing machines, that those sort of products will be exported to South America in big numbers. But to be clear, for Ireland here, there'll be little or no benefit, we believe, to this trade deal. And if it goes through, the potential, particularly for the beef and poultry sector, is really huge. And it's not just the deal that they're going to do with the Mercosur countries. It's the cumulative effect of all the other trade deals that they're looking to re-engage in Australia, India and Canada with again. And in general, when they go to do these trade deals, beef is always used as a bargaining chip. And the reason the Australia deal fell apart was because they felt they weren't getting enough access for their beef.
Francis Gorman, IFA President, safe driving all the way to Brussels, and thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.